You know, we're singing, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. That's what we're singing. That's what we're declaring. That's what we are decreeing today. Are we militant about that? You know, this body, the body of Christ, but this body has been absolutely hammered this last year with ill health and all sorts of things. And it's like, you know, I'm standing this year. 2023 is a turnaround year. Is a turnaround year. Not might be, is a turnaround year. I'm decreeing today, if our God is for us, who and what can be against us? All sickness has to flee. All disease has to flee. Other than that, God's a liar. And Jesus didn't break the power of it on the cross. But it's almost like, for me, as we get older, we settle for something of, well, this is our bodies, we're growing older. Caleb didn't. Abraham didn't. You can go through scripture where they didn't. And I really feel the Lord wants to rouse us this morning as we're singing. If our God is for us, who can be against us? Can sickness? No. Can demons? No. Can life? No. God is bigger than all of this. And he wants to rouse us this morning to say, I have given you life. Life. Life in all of its fullness. So today we decree and declare over this body, life, life, abundant, abundant life from the Prince of Peace that brought us life. We are having, and we decree and declare today that 2023 is a year of abundant life. It's a year of prodigals coming home. It's a year of restoration. It's a year of restitution where we have had things robbed from us. It's a turnaround year. Where finances have been robbed, where health has been robbed. It's a turnaround year. It's the Lord that's decreeing this. He's decreed it from heaven. He is a God of life. If he is for us, then today, what are we saying? What can be against us?
Well, another new year.
Hallelujah.
You could say how quickly 2022's gone, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to dwell on that. There's no point dwelling on the past. Apart from learning from it. Let's hope we've learnt what God intended us to learn from 2022. Because we're moving into this new year. We're looking to the future. A new start. A new year.
Yes.
Fresh opportunities. God tells us his mercies are new every morning. He tells us to anticipate a new move of God. Isaiah 42:9, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So God's telling us, he wants us to know what's going to happen. He's telling us what's going to happen. And in quick succession, when the prophetic word was given to Isaiah, he didn't have chapters. We've put chapters in for our reading, make it easier. But Isaiah 43:19, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now, it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? Other version says, do you not perceive it? And I like that bit better. That perceive rings rather than just being aware. Perceive it? God expects, God wants, God shows us what he is doing or what he's about to do. What is about to happen? He said, we're in a period of preparation. We're getting ready. I don't know whether your anticipation levels are increasing. I hope so. You know, it's a bit like when you go into the kitchen and a meal's... To start with, there's not much, is there? To get the taste buds going. But once you get a bit further on, and the smell of that roast beef... I'm going to make you hungry now. And the smell of that roast beef is coming... Oh, I'm starting to feel hungry now. You know, that's the anticipation of what is going to come on that dinner plate. Well, what about the anticipation of what is going to come this coming year? Mike's not with us this morning. He was wanting to be, but something's happened, so he can't be here. But he shared a vision with me that he had during the week. He said his spirit has been warming in anticipation for a while now, over the last couple of months or so. And he had a picture of Big Ben. And the hands of the Big Ben were coming up to about 5 to 12. And God's hand came down out of the sky and moved the hands on Big Ben. And he sensed God was saying, get ready. I'm moving the hands towards 12. And Mike believes this is representing a fresh move of the Holy Spirit for 2023. Now then, years ago, prayer and fasting men, can you remember when there was the picture that Alex gave where it was coming up to 5 to 12? Nation, because of what had been going on, and we went to and prayed and asked God for mercy on our nation, and God stopped turning in the vision that was given. He stopped turning and looked back, saying, right, I'm giving you another opportunity. And I believe as a nation, we are a blessed nation by God. And he wants us wholehearted for him. Just moving on. Think, what were we in the past? We were the foremost missionary sending nation in the world. We're responsible as a nation for spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ far and wide. But what's happened? We're seeing humanist thinking coming in. We're hearing cultish thinking coming in. We're hearing false religion coming in. But I believe God says there's still an opportunity. There's an opportunity for us to move forward, to reclaim once again, to be sending out the gospel. For the gospel to go across this nation. We've been hearing of the revival that God's going to send on this nation. And we can say, oh, I'm fed up hearing about that. It hasn't happened. Well, if that's your choice, that's your choice. But God said it. From other parts of the world, people are looking. People are coming to this nation because they believe that God's world revival is going to start in this nation. Back to that time, I've shared with you a number of times about the Greek pastor stopping in a conference, stopping in the middle of his word in Germany. You English, you haven't seen anything yet. You think you've had it all. You haven't seen the star. Pouring in my spirit is going to come upon your nation. That's going to sweep the length and breadth of your nation, and then it will flow out into Europe, from Europe to the rest of the world. We've got a Greek in Germany speaking to the British. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, at times thick. We don't hear things for ourselves. But it's prompted. And so many times we're seeing things. God's saying, get ready. I'm moving the hands towards 12. When we get pictures, visions, prophetic words, we can put them on the back burner. You all know what that expression means, doesn't it? In other words, it means put it to one side and leave it alone. Yeah. Leave them and wait and see what God's going to do. That can be the way we look at things. But in Habakkuk 2, again, another familiar one, the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It's yet for an appointed time. That's what this verse is saying. The vision is yet for an appointed time. In other words, it's not now. Wait for it. It will come. That's what God says. Surely come. God's timing is perfect. When that was written, and what we can have said in the past, well, the time's not yet. It's in the future. And then things have got left. We forget. We're good at that, aren't we? Or we move on to the next thing, the in-vogue thing, and forget what's gone on behind. But Habakkuk 1 starts, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. The watchman. God's expecting the watchman to be on the walls. Are you a watchman looking out for what God's going to do? Telling other people, warning other people, being corrected ourselves when we've got it wrong. The watchman stands watch. Another place says, who's going to stand in the gap? Who's going to call on God? Who's standing in the gap to pull down heaven, to pull in the kingdom? Remember, Yavav, it's the Hebrew, it's a hook, and it's for getting hold and pulling down. That's what it means, hook on and pull down, to get hold of the scriptures, to get hold of the visions, get hold of the different things that God's put in place. Keep hold of them. Otherwise, we can forget them. God's appointed time is his people are ready, willing, and often God is waiting for us to move. It's easy to be waiting on God and do nothing. But you know, God should be an active time. And God is a time of anticipation. What's next, Lord? When are you going to come into play? What have we got to do? What have we got to do to fulfill the purposes that you've got? What have we got to do fulfill the things that you've got in criteria in place? Who's going to be where, when? How is it going to be fulfilled? Yeah, what's going to happen? You know, a lot depends on our hearts, our minds, our attitudes. Are we going to just sit back? Is it you'll jump in when you've got started? Or is God saying, no, come on, start? When you think about the priest going into the Jordan, what did they do? Did they say, oh, we'll stop the God, and then we'll step in? No, it was they stepped in, and when their feet touched the water stopped. Now, just imagine you're one of those priests. The river is in full flood. The wreck could be up to a mile wide at that time, and deep. And it's all right. Go on, just walk across it. Just carry that great big gold box with you and walk into the middle and the river will stop. Will it? You know, the back priest, that's when they'd be great. I'm at the back. But at the front, but it stopped, didn't it? Once they started acting, took action, things started happening. And that can be the same for us at times, can't it? Can't it? We've got to be actually saying, what's the next step? Where have we got to go with this? In that vision that Mike, God moved and started to change things. The move of the Holy Spirit was anticipated in 2020. And what happened? COVID came in. The build-up to what was going to happen in 2020 was immense. And then COVID came and everything was just shut down, hatches battened down, people not allowed to come out or anything. Things were stopped. COVID was not from God. I believe COVID was the action of the enemy to stop or to try and have stalled things a bit, but he has stopped what God's going to do. God is still working. Watchman. Who's on the walls? Who are the people who are preparing for the incredible move that's going to come in from God? We are told it's going to be the biggest thing that we've ever seen. Something that this nation has never seen the like of. I don't know about you. Because when you look, some of the things that have happened in this nation have been absolutely amazing. But we've never seen the like of it. It's going to be so much greater, so much bigger. That's what God says. If you don't, look in his word. Who's comfy and just going to say, I'm just going to wait for God? Or are we people who are going to say, no, come on. What do you want us to do, Lord? What have we got to pull down? What have we got to pray? What action, what attitude have we got to have? Who are we listening to? Back to a theme that we had for, I was going to say weeks, but probably months last year. Who are we listening to? I'm just getting a bit of help here. We're going into Esther. And this is just after the letters have gone out. The Jews are in fear because there's been a set day when the people of the nation have been given permission just to kill all the Jews. Just to kill them off. Just because of one man. Yes. And we look. So Hathash returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Go on then.
All the king's officials and even the people in the provinces know that anyone who appears before the king in his inner court without being invited is doomed to die unless the king holds out his gold scepter. And the king has not called me to come to him for 30 days.
So they told Mordecai Esther's words.
If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews would arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this?
Now, you've got to use your imagination, because Mordecai's outside the palace, Esther's inside the palace, so you've got a time lapse between the servant moving back and forward. So Esther's got time to think. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai.
Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die.
So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Thank you. When you look at that, who's Esther listening to? To start with, she's listening to herself, isn't she? She's in fear. Because remember at that time, she said it, no one, not even his wife, can walk into the throne room unless you've been invited. And if you do walk in, if the king doesn't raise the scepter, you're dead. The guards would be told straight away, and it wouldn't matter who it was. And she knew she could have been killed so easily. And Mordecai comes back with that thought, don't think because you're in the palace you're going to get saved. And she gets thinking. She listens to Mordecai and changes. So we can listen to ourselves or we can listen to others. When we look at Numbers, when we see where the spies are sent into the promised land. Remember, this is the land God has told them to go into. God's saying, this is your promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But just to get a bit of a recce, they send in the spies, just to, you know, just to have a look around here. And the spies return. It tells you that they're carrying one bunch of grapes. And it's so big that two men have to carry it. That's a canny bunch of grapes. Yeah. But we get here in verse 27. We went into the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. That's a lot of people. That's basically what it's saying. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome. So we've got Caleb saying, come on, let's get in there. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they're stronger than we are. And he gave the report, you know, that the big people, that, and it says, we jump in a bit, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. You have to be careful how you read that. It's not grasshoppers in their sight, it's we're grasshoppers in our own eyes. So they're looking to their own fear. The people, the rest of the tribes, didn't listen to Caleb, who was the positive force. They listened to the other who were the negative force. What did they get for that? 40 wandering around, and a man over 20-year-old entered the place, apart from Joshua and Caleb. Because they didn't do what God had said to them. Come up. Another one coming from Genesis 3. help again. This is in the Garden of Eden.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'"
And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'"
"You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil."
So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. So who was she listening to? Thank you. Yeah. See, we've got scriptural illustrations here of who are we listening to? Elves? Others? Satan? Are we going to Genesis 12? And we see, the Lord said to Abraham, "Get out from your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Abraham's 75 years old. That's not normally the time when you say, "Well, let's pack up and move out." But that's what God tells him. And he goes away and does that. But then we see in Genesis 15 and verse 5, Abraham's wavering a little bit. Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now towards heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." So that's twice. Genesis 17. At this time, Abraham's 99. So we've gone from being 75 to 99. And God says, "Walk before me and be blameless." And then he tells him, Isaac's going to be born. He's questioned God, but God lets him come forward, and he keeps reassuring. The vision awaits the appointed time. Just think what Just think what he must have been like for him. From 75 year old, the excitement, the anticipation of what is God going to do for me or through me. Up to that point, remember, he hasn't got any children, which was a stigma and a shame. But God says, "You're going to be a great nation." 99-year-old, he's still questioning God. "I haven't got an heir." But God says, "It's going to come. He's coming. Wait, it will surely come." Our timing's not God's timing. Abraham must have said, "When, God, when?" He took matters into his own hands, didn't he? Ishmael came. And just look at the problems that that's caused. He's questioning God again, and Isaac's born. The walking before God and being blameless can be hard. It took 25 years for Abraham's word to come to fruition. Isaiah 7 verse 14 says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah 9, "Unto us a child is born." The date on that's 735 BC. So you're talking 731 years before Jesus was born. The vision awaits the appointed time. God is coming. He waits for the conditions. God's on the... Are we ready to respond? Are we watchmen on the walls, looking, receiving, reacting, obeying? I've shared with you a while ago about Jonathan Cooper, when he said the word for us as a body, we're holding the darkness back over this area. I've shared with you about the harvest being assured, the word that the Lord gave me quite some time ago, the harvest being assured. And it's, you know, we're starting to see, but it's not there. But that word says, the harvest is assured. I have said so. Call it in. Call it into being. Captives. Speak a coming to faith, an acceptance of truth, an unveiling of eyes, an unblocking of ears, a breaking down of barriers, a pulling down of strongholds, a rising up of my spirit. You are salt and light. You are my people, called and chosen by me. Receive and recognize my authority and anointing. That's what I believe God's spoken to us, that we've got to get hold of that. But notice, things do in that word, we've got to call it into being. We've got to speak. You know, things have got to be verbalized before anything happens. We have to speak out. That's God's mode of working. He said in the very beginning, first place of first mention, he spoke and created. And we are no different. We have to speak out. It's no good just thinking it. We've got to speak it out into the heavenlies. I'm just reading some snippets of different prophetic words that have been given over the time, so that you might see that I am the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that I am their Savior, that I am their healer, that I am their provider, that I am all these things that Scripture tells you that I am. God says to you, allow them to have their eyes opened and enable them to have their ears opened. Then you will grow the army who will push back further the kingdom of darkness. So the army will grow and will grow and will grow. And this is how revival will come to this area. I see that you're going to go through a time when you are going to decontaminate the land. And just as a builder will go into an area and will decontaminate the land before he builds on it, God says, I'm going to clean up areas, and you are going to have the wisdom and knowledge and knowing how. So you can then see the kingdom established. He says, I'm going to have to go further down than you can imagine. I'm going to have to go further than you imagine. He's going further widthways than you can imagine. God's doing a lot of things. He wants to be doing a lot of things. He wants us to be in that place of cleansing the land. He's told us that there's an open heaven going to be created, or is created over this place, so that when we worship, the angels are going to be descending, coming into play. That people in desperation, in whatever form, which is already spoken out earlier, are going to, arms raised, receive the healing from God. Receive. As we worship, God is going to send things to cause things to change. I've planted this church and the roots have been going deep, deep down. This has been necessary so you can stand firm in me, anchored and sure in me as the storms come in. As you have seen in the recent weather, one storm coming in, then after another storm. So it will be in the heavenlies. battle it battles against my church, my word, my people. The enemy seeks to destroy, but you must be rooted deep in me and standing shoulder to shoulder with each other. Then you will stand and stand firm rooted and established in me. The roots have gone down. Now establish and build yourselves together in me. The fruit is coming. The words you have received for this fellowship will come to pass. Prayer them in. Prayer them in. Win the heavenly battles in prayer and also in praise. Declare my name over this area. I am coming to heal. I am coming to deliver and set free, to bring release, to heal the broken hearts, to lift the despair, to raise the heads of those bowed down, to set the lonely in families. I am coming. Do not grow weary. Keep pushing through in prayer and praise. You are shifting things in the heavenlies. God says that this church is known in heaven. He says, I know you. I know your deeds. I know your ways. I know the power that you've received at this time. You know my name and you honor my name. And I am so pleased with all these things. But God says, this is the day when I am releasing amongst you, unleashing amongst you my power in an unprecedented way, in a way that has never been known before. But not only will it be known in heaven, but you will also be known in hell. It's one thing to be known by It is one thing, God says, to be known by me in heaven, but another thing to be known by my enemy. But as I release and you appropriate the power that I am about to release and unleash among you, then hell begins to tremble. Demons begin to flee. And I hear the enemy saying, not them again. Not that bunch from amongst Baltimore. We're going to have to flee because they carry the power of God. So these are just snippets taken from different ones. There's going to be a new season, a new power from the Holy Spirit to pierce this darkness. And this church is going to be in the forefront of piercing the darkness. So pushing back the darkness was one of the first prophetic words I was given when I first birthed this work. And that's when this is several years later, it comes in again. There's more power to push back more darkness. God has called, because this church that God has called to pierce the darkness, not only to pierce the darkness around here, but to pierce the darkness of this region, through into Hull and seeing breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough into darkness. So the darkness flees and the light of Christ comes in. Another one about the coffee shop being a safe harbour for people to come into. And we had a prayer asking earlier on again, asking for our eyes to be opened so that we can see with the spiritual eyes, so that we can see the hosts that are around us. And I want to finish off with one word. Helen was brought back. Helen was tidying her desk this week, in between decorating, and she pulled this out and gave it to me. And this is a word going back to 1986. Yeah. And I'm laying hold of this because this was spoken out by Alex Buchanan. And he said, I have raised you to become a dangerous congregation. I have raised you to extend my kingdom in this part of the country. I have already led you through the difficulties, trials, and testings that was the travail before your birth. And you have been born as a strong and lusty congregation. And because I have seen your development, I will entrust to you things that are dangerous, more things that are difficult, so that you will become so strong that we will rise up and cut down my enemies. You will change the very climate of this area. You will be salt and light in it. You will crush the corruption. You will deal with the corruption that is in this area. You will spread light into this darkened place. That is why I've put you here. As I see you becoming more wholehearted, and as you learn to stay closer still to me, making me your refuge, I will indeed, and I repeat it, entrust you greater things, more difficult things, more dangerous things, and I will cause you to spread here and there, and there will be proliferate in a glorious living way. He's declared this all before. We're going to be influential. Well, that's a long time ago. Yes. That was when Worlds was formed. And I was one of the original seven people that formed Worlds. A congregation that is no longer there. The other five are elsewhere. Where she's standing at all. Two are across in New Zealand. Two are in worshiping in Hull. But have stopped doing what God said. Now, how many here were in the fellowship in 86? I thought Mike and Yvonne was, and Sue, yeah. So you're part of the remnant of that lusty and hearty congregation. We are the remnant of what was. But God, when you look through Scripture, God the remnants, and he causes them to flourish. So that word is not a dead duck. That word is coming into fruition. Who are we listening to? Ourselves? It's not going to happen. It's been so long. Why should it happen now? Oh, to others? Why do you think you're so special? To Satan. Don't be arrogant. Did God really say that? Or are we listening to God? He gives us words. He gives us words for a reason. For us to hear, to respond to them by praying them in, pulling them down with our vows, joining heaven to earth, believing and walking in these words, and seeing a change in the area. So let's lay hold of what God's doing. Let's step out into this coming year in that place of anticipation. And I was going to say some excitement, eh? Yeah. Because God's not a boring God. He's an exciting God. Yes.
One of the things that Robert was talking about, he was talking about the ones that went into the promised land. Now, this is our promised land. Who are we listening to, as Robert says? Who are we listening to? Are we listening to the voice of faith, or are we listening to the voice of fear?
Yes.
We need to make that choice and stand with it. And stand in faith that God is going to do what he says he's going to do in this area.
When we were sat and we talk about God doing something, when, if, well, he gave me this picture, and it was stood on a beach and the tide started to withdraw. And you know, when a beach and the tide empties, there's going to be a heck of a lot of water come back in all at one time, and the wave comes. And he said, you talk about the move as if it's not started. The water is already withdrawing. And as surely as the water withdraws, the tsunami comes. It is so certain and so sure that the movement has started. We're not waiting for it to start. It has started. But it seems to have been there's been a withdrawing. But that wave is building up strength. It's building up power. It's building up. It's almost, I can hear it getting ready to just that moment of turn when it suddenly comes in and nothing, absolutely nothing will stand in its way.